Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all our social media feeds, we say good morning, good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. The Winnipeg Jets victors tonight over the Vancouver Canucks. A 4-0 margin, a very tidy road effort for the Winnipeg Jets. Not the most riveting game we've ever seen, but that's, you know, the prototypical quality road victory, quality road game for the Jets. They end the two-game losing streak before it can snowball any further than that. And they do so, gentlemen, with on the backs of a dominant third period. You know, it's hard to remember that it was a 1-0 game until the third period started, and then very quickly it ended up with that 4-0 margin by the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, and, you know, Drew, you said quality road game, and, you know, you said good morning by accident there. It feels like it's morning, and just wait for Wednesday, boys. I think we're going to, you know, end the post-game show at 1 in the morning, especially if it goes to overtime. But, I mean, this game was all Jets. Yeah, the first period was fairly even, but, you know, after the second period on, I thought it was, you know, pretty much controlled by the Jets. And yeah, like, Vancouver is missing a lot of players. And as soon as Bo Horvat left the lineup, you kind of thought, like, okay, like, you know, this is really over. But without Elias Pettersson, without Tanner Pearson, you know, Brandon Sutter obviously doesn't have as big of an impact offensively, but he's a guy that plays on the penalty kill. Like, he's having a, you know, pretty decent season. I think he has something like 7 goals. So, I mean, you're missing all of that center depth, right? And so you've got players that are obviously playing up in the lineup. I thought Nils Höglander had a pretty good game. I actually thought Zach MacEwen, guys, actually had a pretty good game. And he's obviously not a guy that you're expecting to see on the score sheet unless it's a fight, right? He came out of the penalty box and had a pretty good chance there on Connor Hellebuck. But, you know, the Jets were just the better team. And actually, I thought that, you know, the Lowry, Kopp, Appleton line was playing really well throughout the game, you know, just having some good shifts in the Canuck zone. And Lowry got rewarded. Like, yes, it was a fluky goal on his first goal that made it 2-0. Jace Harluck is obviously, you know, trying to intercept that pass, and then it looked like Andrew Kopp might have got a piece of it, and it might have been, you know, overturned on the high stick. But, you know, that line was solid all night long, and we know that, you know, the Connor Ehlers Dubois line, you know, has been the Jets' best line over the last couple of weeks. They were really strong. I thought it was a really good response, boys, from the Scheifele, Wheeler, Stastny line. Obviously, you know, with Stastny playing, you know, game 977 with all of the, you know, good feelings that you have from that milestone. Like, I just thought the Jets were simply the better team. And, you know, the Canucks, I just thought, were much too passive for much of this game. Didn't think Quinn Hughes had a good game at all. Like, obviously, you know, there were a few miscues that really hurt them, but that Canucks defense, I thought, just looked tired and slow. And you could just really tell that they were missing, you know, a couple of those players in their top six.
Well, I mean, to your point there, Ezzy, you know, this isn't the full Vancouver Canucks team. No Elias Pettersson. We know that there's no Tanner Pearson after he got injured on their road trip. Then they lose Bo Horvat for the third period. And I think, you know, when Horvat doesn't start the third period for the Canucks, Dave, it's a real sag on their bench. I think you can sort of see that, you know, the third period starts with that opening, with that shift by the Scheifele, Wheeler, Stastny line, a very good shift to start the period. And then eventually Lowry gets the fluky goal. And it was a fluky goal. I mean, you know, before that, Demko looked strong the entire game. What happens? You know, he gets the, you know, it's an unfortunate bounce for Canucks fans or for Thatcher Demko, goes up and over him. And then after that, it's basically game over for the Jets at that point in time. They were just dominant from that point on in the third period, Dave.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's really about the start of, for me, at least, the way the Jets started that game. I like the fact that you had to be able to get that line. You know, there's a lot of talk about the top line, and really the only line that folks were really saying was having any success of late was that second line. So to be able to get going, you know, fairly early, midpoint of the first period with the Blake Wheeler goal, you know, nice effort by the captain to kind of get that goal from the Jet zone and then to move it all the way to the Canucks zone. I thought that was a good move. And it kind of set the tone for the team. I mean, again, this is a team that lost two games. We hadn't really seen it. We were talking about that after the last game, Drew, is that idea of a team that hadn't had to, quote, face some adversity. And they really haven't from an injury perspective, but they had now from losing two games in regulation for the first time all season long, which is an impressive feat when you consider that it was game 31. This is game 32. But you really, and I mean, we said it, you needed to see a better effort from the Jets collectively. And I thought that's exactly what you did see for the most part tonight. And I think, you know, as a group, they played a better overall game. And Ezzie's right. I mean, you can't miss out on the fact that that was a handcuffed Vancouver team, a team that was missing some of their key players. But at the end of the day, that's not the Jets' responsibility. Jets' responsibility is to go out and play the game and play their team facing. And again, they played the game they needed to play to win on the road.
Well, to your point there, Dave, I mean, it goes back, you know, I go back to what Paul Maurice said after Saturday night's game, where he talks about the Jets had just finished nine games in a row against teams that were in a playoff spot. Well, the Vancouver Canucks were obviously not in a playoff spot. And I don't think that Paul Maurice was intending to throw any shade or anything at the Canucks with that comment. But you could just see it that this was not a Canucks team. Granted, they had been playing well. Their record as of late had been incredible. But that was largely just based on Thatcher Demko being out of his mind. Excellent.
Right. And was really good tonight, Drew. And you're 100% right. Like, you know, you had some wins over the Ottawa Senators in that winning streak for seven wins in nine games since the Jets beat them 5-2. And you had some wins over the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. So it's not like the Canucks were just beating, you know, bad teams. They're obviously, you know, beating a team in the Montreal Canadiens that are also, you know, trying to maintain the pace with some of the other teams in the North Division, right? But you're right. I mean, a lot of these wins are because Thatcher Demko has been really good. Like, Thatcher Demko is for sure in the Vezina conversation right now with Hellebuck, you know, with Andre Vasilevsky, whoever else you want to throw in there. And, you know, just looking at natural stat trick, like when Jake Virtanen and Jordy Benn are leading you at 5-on-5 possession, you probably aren't going to win many hockey games, right? Like, Jordy Benn rings one off the crossbar. And I mean, there were obviously a few other crossbars there. Quinn Hughes hit one in the first period, but like, come on guys, like you can't blame the crossbar here. Like, the Canucks didn't play very well. And you know, it was one of those games where, you know, we talked about some of the players the Canucks are missing, like Pettersson, and I'm not sure what that was, but that threw me off a little bit. And, you know,
I think that was Dave's fault, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it wasn't. I thought it sounded like a car was starting there, Dave.
I got distracted.
Yeah, I don't know. Regardless, I mean, yeah, it's
Dave, you're on TV.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, okay. Just want to make sure.
I was trying to be subtle.
Yeah, you weren't. Maybe turn the volume down next time.
Use that mute button, Dave M. But, you know, it's just a good victory, boys. Like, you know, you wanted to stop the bleeding. You haven't lost three games in a row all year long. And Drew mentioned it right off the top. It's one of those tidy road wins. You just played a solid game. You didn't depend on one line. Like, we'd been talking about that. I heard you guys a little bit on the post-game show on Saturday night. I think I was half sleeping, but
I was going to say, hang on. You listened or presumably watched the post-game show that you could have easily been on, but instead you laid in bed and watched us?
I'm hoping
you meet. I wasn't in bed. I wasn't in bed, Drew. I was on the couch downstairs.
It's even worse.
Just like I am right now. I'm in my basement.
But why weren't you on the show then on Saturday?
Well, because I went to bed like 10 minutes into the post-game show. I had a bedtime.
Dave, does any of this make sense to you?
No.
Okay.
I'm not gonna.
I think the question you need to be asking, Drew, is: does anything about me make sense?
No.
That's a better question.
That's the question you have to ask.
That is the question.
Mean, that's fair. I mean, I can accept that as an answer as well. Let's, you know, the Jets open the scoring here, and it's the Blake Wheeler goal. Yeah. And that's probably one of the worst goals that Demko's given up as of late, because that was not a. I mean, it was a fine shot. It was a save he makes more often than not, and it just squeaks through them, and the Jets have that 1-0 lead, and that's sort of what the Jets needed. This was a team, I would say, that, you know, didn't have an overwhelming amount of confidence coming into this game, especially how the game on Saturday against Edmonton ended. Remember, they were up. They were leading in that in that third period on Saturday night, and all of a sudden, you know, we know what happened in that third. The Jets, I think, feel better about themselves immediately there when Wheeler opens the scoring in that first period for the Jets.
Yeah, and I think there's no question about it. And I think one of the things we've talked about, it was, you know, the Jets realize they're going to have to play in tight games. And obviously the game opened up in the third period. But, I mean, overall, I mean, it's a one-goal game. And that's what we saw for a bit in Edmonton as well. So you've got to be able to win these tight, close games. And you're not going to be blowing out opponents, you know, 6-7-1. That's more of the exception to the rule. And so, again, I thought they put they limited the Canucks. I think the Canucks had, what, five high danger chances throughout the course of the game. So it wasn't as if they gave up a ton of opportunities. They had a lot of two-on-ones themselves, and they didn't convert all of them. But you know what the reality is? I think, again, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, you've banked 2 points, another regulation win. You're 2 points back of Toronto and Edmonton now. I think they've played the same amount of games as Toronto, and they have, two games or three games in hand on the Oilers. And you're two points back.
Two games in hand on the Oilers.
And same as Toronto.
And the same as Toronto.
Yeah. So the point is that you've put yourself back into the conversation. You've got to feel good about your team. You know, this Canucks team now is probably reeling, to Ezzie's point, with all of the injuries that they've suffered. And, you know, I mean, are they going to go back to Demko? Are they going to put in Holtby? We don't know. But I mean, the truth is you're feeling good about yourself. The third line I thought was much better tonight than they've been the last few games. They looked much more connected, much more dominant. Again, maybe a function of who you're playing against, a weakened opponent. It doesn't really matter, though, because, again, as I said, you play who's in front of you. And the reality for the Jets is whatever gets your team going, you know, I mean, the reality is you're using this as kind of a stepping stone. You're not looking past the Canucks, but you know that you've got a big series coming up against the Flames. And so if I'm the Jets, this is what I'm using to get my guys feeling good. And then you say, okay, we're feeling good about against our games against the Canucks. Presumably you can continue this into the next game. If you do, then you leapfrog against a Calgary team that's much more motivated right now, I think, than the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, absolutely, boys, because if the Jets didn't win this game, obviously not only would it be a three-game losing streak, but we would be talking about how the Jets couldn't finish off a team that was without Elias Pettersson, which was without, you know, Tanner Pearson, Bo Horvat leaving the game. You know, this is a team that's lower than the Jets in the standings. And, you know, we have to give a shout out to Marshall Patterson right off the bat. I see he's beaking me a little bit about my beard in the chat there. So shout out to One Day PGA. Good to hear from him. And I saw that he's also talking about the fourth line. And yeah, I agree with Marshall to a certain extent about the fourth line. They weren't, you know, as good as maybe they have been in previous games. But, you know, I look at this game as a whole, and it was one of those games where the Jets didn't even really need to have one line necessarily, you know, controlling the offense for the team, right? Like this, it was just one of those games where they played really solid defensively. They got timely goals, like the Paul Stastny goal. Obviously, boys, Thatcher Demko is trying to leave the net for the extra attacker. He gets completely caught, and he's going the wrong way, right? So, like, I mean, it was one of those games, right? We talked about the crossbars. Like, this just wasn't Vancouver's night. This was the Jets' night. And, you know, it was the third line that chipped in the most offense. And obviously, you know, they got the bounces. And that's the way hockey works sometimes. Like, this was one of those games where you can't really say, like, you know, the Canucks deserved better. Like, the Jets were the better team. And, you know, wanted to mention too, like, I really like Nikolai Ehlers' game. Like, he easily could have had a couple goals, boys. And obviously Demko made a few really good saves on him. One was just point blank and the other one was an odd man rush. So I even though Dubois, Connor, Ehlers, they maybe didn't get the results on the score sheet that they wanted, I thought they were really solid, and you know, we have come to expect that now with that line. And you know, I continue just to like the way Lowry, Kopp, and Appleton, you know, they drive the net, you know, all the work they do down low. You know, we were, you know, tweeting about it from the IC account. It was just cycle.
Wearing
the Canucks down.
You know, to your point there, Ezzie, you know, on that goal, Dave, that was reminiscent of what we, you know, used to see from the Jets' third line on a regular basis.
Right.
And we haven't seen it necessarily. I don't think that's how Kopp, Lowry, and Appleton are going to be. I don't think that they're going to cycle a team to death, even though that's sort of, we saw it so often with Tanev, Lowry, and Kopp, that's what people want to see shift in and shift out from that third line. It just doesn't seem to be the way the current third line is going to play. But that was an old school third line shift, and they got rewarded with it. Again, a beautiful pass from Andrew Kopp onto Adam Lowry's stick, and he was all alone. And that was really that was the goal that sealed this game, made it no doubt about it. But, you know, that is, you know, there were multiple shifts in this game where the Jets were able to keep the Canucks hemmed in, and that, you know, they weren't necessarily the quick strike offense that we've seen from the Jets for so many games, where they're, you know, the numbers don't look good on the analytics side of things, but that they're able to end up scoring on the quick strike. This was more of a down low game that they played tonight, and I think that's probably beneficial for them, just to get into the flow of playing games like that on a more regular basis.
Yeah, and again, I think it comes down to this Vancouver team had kind of caught lightning in a bottle. And again, as he said it, Thatcher Demko's been otherworldly, really, in terms of his play so far in this during this stretch. And, you know, there's only so much he can do. There's only so much when you're missing so many of your, you know, your big guns are out of the lineup. It's hard for you to generate. So really, if the Canucks were going to win, they were going to win. It was going to have to be an ugly game. Connor Hellebuyck was good. 22 saves for his first shutout of the season. And again, the Jets did what they needed to do. You know, you got production not from just that one line. You get the Lowry line. You got the top line producing two goals. So to me, like, that was almost more important. Was, again, it's spreading out the good feeling and making everyone feel good about their game going into that Calgary series. Again, I don't like to look past opponents and say, ignore what's happening here with the Canucks, because the Canucks had tightened things up, obviously, but it was a bit of a mirage because they played so many more games than everybody else.
Right. But if the Canucks had ended up winning tonight, we talked about this on Saturday. We talked about, how these two games, the Calgary games are probably more important because I think Calgary is more of a threat. But, had the Canucks won tonight, they were only going to be 1 point behind the Jets. Forget about all the games in hand, because that's obviously the caveat attached to anything I'm saying here. So that's why it was important for the Jets to get this victory, because if you follow up tonight with a win on Wednesday, well, you've put yourself so far ahead of the Canucks that it's basically you don't have to worry about them in your rearview mirror anymore. I mean, if they win on, if the Jets end up winning on Wednesday as well, you're 7 points up on the Canucks with four games in hand. That's home free from Vancouver at the very least. Then you have to worry about the other teams that are behind you in the standings. But that's why tonight's game was important for the Jets. They have to end that two-game losing streak, and you have to, pardon me, you have to sort of step on the Canucks to prevent them from even getting any inkling that they're going to get that much closer to you in the standings.
Also worth noting quickly, that Calgary lost to the Senators tonight. So,
yes, I mean, in regulation.
So, I mean, there's a big, I mean, again, this North Division is chaotic, and that seems to be what we're coming to expect this season, because, one team looks like they're just on fire. They're never going to lose again. And then all of a sudden you lose a couple games. You lose to the Senators, or the Canucks go on a winning streak. So the Jets get a benefit. They win. The Flames lose in regulation. They beat the Canucks. So you gained a little bit of distance from a North Division that had tightened up a little.
Yeah. And, back to what Drew said about the importance of winning this game because of the fact that, the Canucks and the Flames are still sticking around here. It's also, I think, the way in which they won, right? Because they weren't good defensively last game on Saturday versus Edmonton. I mean, I know you guys talked about it, even though, I didn't listen to the whole postgame show, and I certainly wasn't on the postgame show.
You're getting beaked in the comments. Well, the comment section is criticizing you, saying, why were you awake? I mean, the comments people are right. Don't listen to Dave and I. We know you don't listen to us. Listen to the intelligent people in the comment section saying it doesn't make any sense that you were watching the postgame show and not participating in the postgame show.
It was my night off. Boys, I can do whatever I want on my night off, okay? And I listen to Marshall. I listen to Dom Zappia. I listen to the fans. I do listen to Dave M. Drew, but I don't listen to you. But,
Me to read the text you sent me? Should I read the text before the end of the post-game show?
No, that's not for on-air. That's for off-air, Drew. But, no, I mean, you make a good point, though. I mean, you had to end this little mini losing streak. And really, guys, if you think about it, you've got four games left on this road trip, right? We know there's the three games against Calgary with the back-to-back. But there's a really good chance you can take three out of these four games, in my opinion. I mean, I don't think you can expect to win all three games against the Calgary Flames. Obviously, the Jets do expect to win because, that's what you should expect every game against any team. But just based on the back-to-back, I think it's going to be tough to take all three. But, Calgary is a bit of a mess. And, going back to, talking about the Canucks and their injuries, like that defense, like I realize again that they've been playing some better hockey the last couple of weeks, but like Alex Edler, was beat really bad by Nick Ehlers. We talked about that when Ehlers cut back. I mean, that just looked like, a really fast, skilled player against a defenseman that's at the end of his career. And Alex Edler's had a great career, don't get me wrong. But, Quinn Hughes didn't have a very strong game. Like, I thought Travis Hamonic was their best defenseman. Like, and Jordy Benning. Well, he
did a nice diving save.
Scored a nice goal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, but I mean, so that Canucks defense, like I feel like there's some talent. Obviously Quinn Hughes is their most talented defenseman, and I think there's some talent there, but like, I don't know if it's the D pairings, like I don't know what it is, but that defense looked kind of slow to me. And they just look like they are having a lot of trouble, as we talked about. I mean, there were several shifts, especially in the second half of that game, where the Canucks were just running around. And it's not just the defense, obviously, but, you know, I just thought that they didn't have the mojo. They didn't have the energy. And, you know, when the Jets saw an opportunity to, you know, step on them and, you know, put the final nail in the coffin, they did it.
Well, let's step on you for a minute and hear from Jets head coach Paul Maurice coming up right away. And, of course, we'll pay some bills momentarily thereafter as well.
Your team and your coaching staff, did you feel that that was on display in tonight's game?
Yeah, we, you know what, you could feel it during the day, that right at the morning skate, that the mood was right, the minds were right. They were excited about the game. There was nobody dragging. Had a really good understanding of the weight of the game after losing two that wanted to be right. But their line, Mark, Blake, and Paul, you know, right from the start, were really good. And it just created a real positive bench, positive environment that we kind of build on. And I think we did in the game tonight. You know, we were maybe even a bit after the first, but got stronger in the second and played a really fine third period.
We'll go next to Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun.
Paul, did you think that was a response by the Chesney line, or were they just due or some personal pride?
No, I think there was an awareness, you know, like an awareness that they had four that, man, things had just gone against them. There was some confidence there. I didn't see any panic. I didn't see any panic in the game. Or they didn't play a different kind of game tonight, right? They just kind of stayed with it. Maybe the maturity was in their game. But we needed that, right, from them. They needed to started knowing that they would play against Horvat. So that was the challenge. And I felt that if the game wasn't going our way, that I'd work hard to get away from that matchup. But they were strong with it right from the start.
We'll go next to Gemma Carson-Smith from the Canadian Press. Go ahead, Gemma.
Hi, Coach. Can you comment on how your goaltender played tonight?
Sure. You know, he's been really good for us and had some big nights, and it's good for him to get a shutout. You know, that doesn't get old for goaltenders. He's still bragging about his fancy footwork off the post on the one. But he made a bunch of saves that made the end result possible and that we were able to kind of build and get stronger as the game went over.
Next to Carter Brooks from Game On. Go ahead, Carter.
Hey, Coach. Josh Morrissey is now up to 6 assists in his past 6 games. What do you see working so well offensively as of late?
You know what? He builds everything from the back end out with his game. If he's playing well defensively, in order to do that for Josh, he has to play at a high rate of speed, right? His feet have to be right. He's got to be closing the gap, right? He's not a big man, so he's got to use a whole bunch of things to be a good defensive defenseman. And when those parts are in his game, his hands just, it just happens for him, right? He gets pucks off his stick quick. He picks up the reads faster. You know, he's so much of this is just kind of a rhythm to the game for each player. And for Josh, when you see him flushing pucks up the wall and taking on a bigger guy and tight turning him or doing something strong defensive, you know that offensive part's just going to be there for him.
Next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Thanks, Gregor. Hey, Paul. A word on the third line, if you could, that seemed to bounce back and really grind.
Yeah, you know what? I felt probably about 5-6 games ago, their game kind of turned and started to get real positive. And the style of goals that they score, you know, the hard pucks to the net drive, and they had a bunch of other looks tonight, I thought, from being big and strong down low. It's really important for our team to have that element. We have a different kind of style maybe between the Dubois line and the Scheifele line, but they have a unique way of grinding pucks to the net, driving pucks to the net. We've got a great line line change on the Dubois goal for Adam's second, and they went out and continued that control with strength and eventually, you know, got some size to the net. And so it's a really important difference kind of in the fabric of our team when they play that style of game.
And final question to Ken Weave from Sportsnet.
Paul, just going back to Connor Hellebuck, can you quantify what that means mentally for him? I know there hadn't been any weak ones, but
right,
there were 8 consecutive starts for him.
Right. So we, you know, he had the first two games in Toronto where he just lights out, you know, that's as good a goaltending as you're fine. And then we got into this stretch of games where there wasn't as much offense in the game. So it's not a high volume night for him where he has a lot to feel good about. It's a lower volume. And it just happens to me, McDavid and Draisaitl shooting the puck an awful lot on him. So he got kind of picked apart. Isn't a fair. He gave up goals on a lower volume, and that I think can play on a guy like that. Cause he leaves the last game thinking he should have all 3 of them. Right. So he's always done a marvelous job of learning what he needed to learn from the game and kind of bouncing back. But it's like a goal scorer, you know, that confidence is critical. A 0 on the board for a goaltender, you get to carry that with you for a little while, and he earned it.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Okay, guys.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You heard from Jets head coach Paul Maurice, paid some bills. Want to give a shout out to our sponsors. They make this show possible. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, and Boston Pizza support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. You know, it's a good day for the Winnipeg Jets when your goaltender toe picks right next to the net and falls on his face a little bit, falls on his keister a little bit, and the head coach can poke fun at him. So you know things went well for the Jets tonight, because there's certainly been some games for every team where the goalie falls like that and somehow that puck ends up behind them in the back of the net. Wasn't the case for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. A very tidy 4-0 victory over the Vancouver Canucks. The rematch will be Wednesday. Do you go back with Hellebuck again? Look at the schedule. You got Wednesday, you got Friday, you got Saturday, you got Monday. You know the success you have that Laurent Brossoit has had in Vancouver. Hellebuck coming off the shutout. or Brossois to give Hellebuyck that gap of days off?
Well, I go back with Hellebuyck because obviously it wasn't a heavy workload, right? Like you didn't go to overtime. You didn't face 35 plus shots. So I would go back to Hellebuyck. I agree with what you're saying, though, Drew. I think you factor that in for sure, that Lauren Brossois has been very good. If I'm not mistaken, Dave, he had his first ever NHL victory in Vancouver, right? So he's been
first ever shutout.
You're right. Yeah. So that's why I defer to you, Dave, because obviously you're the smart one. Can we go back to Paul Maurice's press conference? Like, do we need to get Paul an acetaminophen? Pardon me, an antihistamine, not an acetaminophen. Like, should we get him some Claritin or something? It seemed like he was maybe having some allergies there. I wasn't sure. There were some sniffles and some sneezing.
It is allergy season, Izzy.
Yeah, so hopefully that was nothing, and he's not going to be under the weather for tomorrow night's game, or sorry, two nights from now's game. But
no, it can be tomorrow night now. It's now 12:02 a.m. You're okay. Yeah. We're on to Tuesday, so yeah. It is when the next game is exactly. Wednesday.
It's going to be a really late one on Wednesday night, boys. But Drew,
take the day off. You can just watch the show. You don't have to participate. Take the night off. You've done a lot. You've done a lot here today.
You know what, Drew? I deserve that after the text.
That's not the end of it. Don't worry. Let me ask you guys.
It's going to come back to haunt me, isn't it?
Yeah. Dave?
To Ezzy's point is right. I mean, first of all, Connor Hellebuyck had 22 shots. He wasn't overworked by any stretch of the imagination in tonight's game. And more importantly, if you go with Lauren Brossois on Wednesday and you go Hellebuyck on Friday, then you're going back to Brossois for Saturday. So do you want Hellebuyck playing 2 of 4 games, or would you rather have Hellebuyck play 3 of 4 and have Brossois? And again, that's not a shot at Brossois because he's been playing fantastic this season. But it's more a function of your goaltender, who loves to be, it's kind of a rhythm guy, loves to be in that almost every game. So I suspect we'll see Connor Hellebuyck based on a number of factors on Wednesday.
You're probably right. I just thought it might be, it would warrant the question, certainly.
Well, I mean,
look, the play of Brossois in Vancouver.
And the fact is, it's a condensed schedule, and that's what you have to be aware of. And while these games are important, you want to preserve guys' health, and you don't want to be, you know, there's not a lot of practice time, so you've got to be, you know, these are all factors for sure, Drew. But I just think, like, again, if he would have faced like 35 to 40 shots, maybe you're thinking about it. But I my guess would be that you're going to have Hellebuyck on Wednesday. But look, the Jets are practicing tomorrow, so maybe we'll get more of an indication, or we might have to wait till Wednesday.
And you know what, Drew? It's a valid question you bring up, though. Like, I wouldn't be shocked, just because, as Dave just mentioned, you've got the condensed schedule. Like, we know how many games are coming up here. Like, it's not like the Jets have, I think the Canucks have a 5 or 6 day break coming up.
They do.
Like, the Jets don't have that coming up. So you've got
the longest break the Jets have between now and the end of the regular season is 3 days. So we saw with Toronto where they had that after they played the Jets on the Saturday and then went to Ottawa on the Sunday. They didn't play again till Friday. And then I think they're in the midst of a big break as well. Again, the Leafs have really had some time off here. The Jets, again, 3 days is the longest break. Other than that, it is every second night basically from here until the end of the regular season, which will also coincide with the end of and all of our relationships and marriages.
And you know what? Exactly. And you know, we'll see what happens, right? Like, obviously, you know, that's not really good analysis, but it's like, I think there's going to be some consideration. Like, it would make a lot more sense for Lauren Brossois to get this game as opposed to, you know, maybe getting one of those Edmonton games. Like, it just didn't make any sense for him. You know, you just wouldn't expect that, right? So I wouldn't be surprised.
Quick final thought from each of you about the D pairings. We saw that they were shuffled around. Josh Morrissey playing with Tucker Poolman, Logan Stanley playing with Dylan DeMello tonight. It might not be, you know, necessarily, you can't really glean much from it given the what Vancouver put towards the Jets net, which wasn't a ton of great chances. But I guess it's just sort of a thought on the D pairings in tonight's contest for the Jets.
First off, very weird to see Josh Morrissey under 20 minutes of ice time, right? So you got to like that. And obviously, you know, some of that has to do with the score, right? Like, he didn't have to log bigger minutes in the third period. But I thought Morrissey and Poolman were fine. And like, look at, guys, we've seen this pairing for a couple of years now. Like, you know what you're going to get out of Morrissey and Poolman. Like, I still want to see DeMello paired with Morrissey. I just think that pairing works better in a shutdown role. Mm-hmm. And Forbert and Pionk were obviously pretty quiet tonight. And Logan Stanley, I thought, had a quiet, good game. So, yeah, I mean, they were fine tonight.
Logan Stanley at 5-on-5, which is basically all we played tonight. Corsi 4, 63.33%, matching that of Dylan DeMello, 63.33%. So
the Corsi King, Logan Stanley.
They were certainly possession positive tonight for the Winnipeg Jets on the back end. So was Josh Morrissey, and so was Tucker Poolman, for that matter. Pionk and Forbort, as it happened, were not possession positive for the Winnipeg Jets. Dave, yeah. Thought on the D pairings?
No, I mean, I think as he said it all, I think overall, I would reflect back on the fact that I think you have a diminished Vancouver team, but regardless, you got your three of your lines now. The second line was firing. We know they've been firing for a while. You got the first and third lines going again. And I think the third line was almost, well, I'd say they're both pretty critical. I think you needed really to get good feelings for both those groups because, Paul Maurice had said he had seen it turn for the third line the last 3-4 games in a positive way. I don't know if I would agree with that assessment because I didn't think they had been playing as strong as they have throughout the course of the season. And, like I said, I thought we were seeing them more often than not, especially against the Oilers, getting caved quite often. So to get those guys back feeling good again, doesn't matter if it's a quote lesser opponent, you just have to play. It's not your fault, right? You just have to play who's in front of you, and of course play structurally sound because you still have to have a good form when you play the better teams. But I think that it's critically important for those teams, those lines to be feeling good because again, this is the NHL. You can't have one line going and expect to win consistently. If you have three lines going, you're feeling a lot better about the team. Team's feeling good. They got back on their winning ways. I'm with Ezzy. I think they can kind of go on a bit of a run. You got a Calgary team that, again, this North Division is so all over the place. And I think that's just one thing we're going to expect kind of right to the end of the season is just you're going to have this kind of chaos. And that maybe should be called the Chaos Division, not the North Division, but to me, I think it was a good game. I mean, again, like I said, it was a good road game. It wasn't spectacular. It wasn't the most exciting hockey game we've ever watched. But again, from a Jets perspective, you came out of it clean. You got your guys feeling good about themselves, and you have 2 points.
And that's truly what mattered for the Winnipeg Jets tonight, a 4-0 victory. They end the losing streak at 2 games Wednesday night, the rematch between the Canucks and the Jets. Reminder before we wrap up tonight, if you haven't already done so, smash the subscribe button. Hit it, smash it, punch it, tap it, touch it, gently stroke it. Whatever you want to do, do that to the subscribe
button. Sounded like a Daft Punk song there, Drew.
Well, you know me. I am a DJ in my spare time. Didn't Daft Punk break up? Didn't they announce they're not touring anymore? Did I see something like that?
Hopefully that doesn't happen to Illegal Curve.
They will no longer be going around the world.
And I'm not going to sing. It's way too late and nobody wants to hear that. Anyway, smash the like button, subscribe. You can see it on the website there. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel each and every time we go live so you can join us in the chat. We'll be back Wednesday night, of course, with another post-game show. That one's going to be even later considering that game doesn't start till 9:30. But for now, all your post-game coverage continues on our website, illegalcurve.com. For Dave Minuke, for Ezra Ginsberg, I am, according to Ezra Ginsberg in a text that he meant to say to Dave, I am a bald asshole with sausage fingers who doesn't know how to run his little computer, also known as Drew Mandel. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve postgame show.